Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of a study by Brother Stephen Miller titled, What is Truth? Part 2. Stephen will pick up where he left off in the first part of his study that took place a few weeks prior to this as he demonstrates the reality that absolute truth does exist and that relativity and any other philosophical claim that denies this is anti-biblical and anti-Christian and is not reasonable. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study of What is Truth? Part 2 with our teacher, Stephen Miller. And this is part 1 of 2.
And then, so now we're going to complete the study on truth because I only got through about half my notes. So now if you guys remember, we won't go over the entire thing, but if you remember the definition of truth, I basically define truth as what actually is. So truth is the actual thing that actually happened. Like, so if you, for instance, if a tree falls in the wilderness, it actually did fall. So versus like saying, well, it did fall, but then you would say, no, it didn't fall. That would be called a lie. So that, I know it sounds very simple, but that's, this is the world we live in, where we have to actually tell you that truth is actually what actually happened. So a lot of the, okay, so there's this one guy online, I was talking to him, and he said, no, that's not truth, those are just facts. So I was like, dude, I'm going to blow up talking to you. And he was actually like a normal guy that like, just a normal guy that seemed like a relatively good educated person who would be just, you know, open to learning. And we're kind of going back and forth, and he said, no, that's not truth, that's just facts. And so like, there's this thing in America where it's like, you have your truth and then I have my truth. Has anybody ever heard of that, where like there's, it's kind of like relative, yeah, it's like relativism, where there's two truths to something. That's actually not true. There's actually only ever one truth, but there are different perspectives. So it's not true that there are two truths, it's only true that there is one truth. So, about any particular event. So it's like if I was to investigate a murder, I would, like, let's say that Gloria, no, let's not do Gloria. Let's say that Johnny ran around and shot three people in here. Okay, so sorry, Johnny, you're it, man, because you didn't share your sandwich with me. So Johnny's a murderer, and he runs around and he shoots any people. Let's say Jenny and Mark. Okay. Sorry, Mark.
He'd be doing me a favor.
Yeah, that's right. He'd be doing. So let's say that Johnny came in and he shot Jenny and Mark. So we got two Jennies and one Mark. And so then, so you have two different perspectives to that. Somebody could say, well, Johnny shot some people. And then, so somebody, you know, an investigator would interview you guys and say, hey, what happened? And one person would say, well, Johnny came through the door and then shot Jenny, and Mark, or Mark, Jenny, and Jenny. And then the investigator would write that down, think that you guys stuttered, and only two people died. So that's hit that. So you have two different perspectives. So let's say Mariah gave that testimony. So Johnny shot Jenny, and Mark. The investigator wrote it down. You're only going down for a double homicide on this one because they've misfiled the paperwork now. And that's just how it is. Did you guys hear about, there was a, it wasn't a murder, it was like a rape or something like that, where the guy it took 12 years because they misfiled paperwork to get this guy actually arrested. Wow. It took 12, something like 12 years. I forget, you said, yeah, you remember that? Anyway, it was just on the radio the other day. So just because they misfiled paperwork, they forgot to go back and see if if he was actually there, if he actually lived or something like that. I don't know. I forget what it was. But they forgot to go back and actually check. The investigators did. But that's just a freak accident. You know, the investigators are usually, they're always about half right. They always get about half the criminals. So, and that's usually when they just fall in their laps. Anyway, but that's, I've been robbed a lot. Kind of, that's Columbus. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so back to the point. So you have Jenny, and Mark, they get shot and killed. And so you have a perspective. You have Mariah's perspective. And then she says, well, you know, Jenny, and Mark were shot after Johnny went through the door. And then so the investigator writes this down. He doesn't even know that there are two doors here. So it could be either door. And so you have a lack of information, which brings up a different perspective. So he's saying now you have the investigator's perspective because he wrote everything down. He's got a file report. So now there are two truths in that respect. But what actually happened? That's a different thing. What actually happened is, you know, Johnny would have come through the back door, shot Jenny, shot Mark, shot Jenny. Actually, three people died. But we know that there was a homicide. We know that people died. We know these big basic things. But what actually did happen is something different from what these two people have a different perspective of. So like another, if we asked Charity what happened, she would say that Jenny Allball, Jenny Miller, and Mark, what's your last name? Easter, Mark Easter, were shot because Johnny came through the back door, and maybe she gave a better account. So just because there are two accounts with differing information doesn't mean that something actually happened that's different. There is actually one truth to this whole situation. Now, maybe she left out that Johnny had two guns. Maybe Mariah said, oh, Johnny had two guns. So there's these two differing stories where to get the actual facts, you know, you're probably never actually going to get the actual facts. It's like that shooting down in Las Vegas. We're never going to know exactly what happened, but that doesn't mean that those actual things didn't happen. The truth is whatever actually did happen, not what people say happened. That's the big difference. So truth is something that cannot be changed. Truth is something that it's static. There's no, it doesn't depend on anybody. It doesn't depend on the perspective of a person. There are no multiple truths. Relativism is perspective. So it's not actually what happened. People say, oh, that's your truth versus my truth. You know, they really what they mean by that is like moral truth. So they mean, well, it's true for you that, you know, being gay is wrong. But it's true for me that it's right. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's true for me, and it doesn't matter what's true for you. The only thing that really matters is what actually is true to God. So if it's true to God, then it's true. It's true. So, and actually God, he's pretty much the only person that can make truth. So, and it's supernatural. So we talked about why you hate the truth. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about why you should love the truth. So we have hate and we have love. And there are people who should love the truth, and we're going to talk about that. So so we have different perspectives on truth, but truth is actually one solid thing. So let me see if I can get my Bible up here, even with my notes. Okay, so the title of the message, just in case Greg is recording later on, is Why You Should Love the Truth. That's the title of the message, so not hate the truth. So number one, you should love the truth because it makes you free. So turn to John 8:32. I love the book of John. It's a good book. It is part of the good book. So John 8:32, and we'll just go down this real quick. So you should love the truth because it makes you free. In John 8:31, it says, 8:32, I'm sorry. John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Modern version says set you free, but in this one it says make you free. So you're actually going to be free from several different things. You're actually, go to Romans 8:21, and we're going to see what the truth makes you free from. So there are lots of people who want to be in bondage who will not who will not know the truth. So there's it's almost like they desire to live in a fairy tale. No offense, Johnny. I'm sorry, man. That sandwich, man. You should have brought me a sandwich. You're,
I think personally that fairy tales.
Romans 8, 21. Fairy tales are nice, but it's not a good place to live all the time. So what's the documentary that we watched just recently? It's got really bad language in it, that one. The Red Pill. Do you guys ever heard of that documentary? It's called The Red Pill. It's about the men's rights movement. Yeah. And so in that story, that the whole premise, you guys ever seen The Matrix? How many of you guys seen The Matrix? Man, you guys need to get saved. Okay, so The Matrix. In The Matrix, if you remember, it was like 10, 15 years ago when the first one came out. That was the best one. First one was the best one. By the time it was over, I didn't even know what it was about. But so in the first one, you had Neo. That's what his name was? Yeah, I know Jenny would remember. So you had Neo, and you had what's that, the black guy? What's his name?
Morpheus.
Okay. So you had Neo and Morpheus. Those are the two characters. So you had Neo sitting there, and he had kind of figured out that he was in the Matrix. So he was in this computer program. He had kind of figured it out. And then Morpheus comes along and he says, okay, well, you got a decision to make. He says, you can either take the red pill or the blue pill. Whichever one will take you down, whichever path you're going to go. And it says, if you take the blue pill, you just go back into the Matrix. We'll wipe your memory of everything that we've talked about here. You go back and you live your life of just whatever you were doing before. You go to work, you come home, you go to work, you come home. You never know you're in this this video game or this Matrix. You never know. You won't have to deal with any of this stuff anymore. And then if you take the red pill, then you wake up. You wake up, and you wake up into this nasty, dirty world that is nothing like the fantasy land that you thought it was. And you're going to be hunted down. People are going to hate you. They're going to, you wake up in this tank that you're now suffocating, and then you're dumped out, you're spit out onto the ground, naked and just cold, and everything's dirty and nasty, but it's the truth. And so Morpheus said, what's your decision? And then there's that moment there in the movie where, you see the red pill and the blue pill. And what's he do? He takes the red pill. So, and I always like to think that I'm a red pill kind of guy. And I would take, I just want the truth. The truth is what's important. The truth is where my loyalty lies. And it's not in a person or a man. Not in. I have to say that the truth is, I hate to say it like this, but my loyalty doesn't necessarily lie in the Bible or in God, but it more lies in what is true. And luckily, not luckily, but through research, I've discovered that God is actually the truth. That's where my loyalty should lie, because the truth brings me to Jesus Christ. Not just a God, but actually Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, the King James Bible. That's what the truth is. The truth is actually what these words actually say, every single one of them. It's been, the King James Bible has been attacked over the last 400 years, and it's withstand the wiles of the devil. I mean, it's stood up, every single word. It's kind of amazing because, David Daniels, his job, he's an author. And he's a Bible expert. He works for Chick Publications. And his job is to take whatever new version that comes down the pike and read it. You know, he'll read the entire modern version Bible. And his job is to figure out what's wrong with that Bible. And it takes him like 30 seconds. And he goes to key verses where he knows that, hey, this is what's going to be wrong. And then what he does is he publishes that. He'll publish it on Facebook. I've seen him do it. He's like, oh, this new Bible version came out, the Queen James Version or whatever. Here's what's wrong with it. Bam, done. And it's done. And you can't refute that because he's got the evidence. It's right there. Well, he's done the same thing to the King James Bible. And he can't refute it. Many people have done the same thing. That's what the truth is. It's the red pill truth. It actually is the fact. So we're in Romans 8:21, and hopefully I'm there. So the truth will make you free. Romans 8:21, and that says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the truth makes you free from corruption. It makes you free from the bondage of this body. The truth will actually change your body during the rapture. Or when hopefully Johnny doesn't go and kill everybody here, but when you die, eventually you'll be getting a new body. So the truth actually sets you free from this corruption, this world of corruption. It's terrible in the morning when I have to be up at 4 a.m. and I was up at 4 a.m. this morning. And when I wake up, my body is corrupt. I can tell you that much. It's hard. I've been, you know, you take vitamins, magnesium, and you try and stretch and stuff like that, but it's terrible. This world just breaks you down until you're just dust. But luckily, the truth is going to set us free from corruption. So the truth is going to... So actually, let's read on a little bit. So, what is that, 8:21? So 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan, man, that's a good word, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I can tell you, I've been overweight since I was 9 years old when I broke my leg. And I want a new body. I want a new, you know, there's, I feel cheated. Okay, so, because I didn't work very hard at anything. So, the truth sets you free from this corruption, this corrupt body. And the truth sets you free from the work of the law. Go to Galatians chapter 3. This is actually one of my favorite verses, and you're going to see why. Actually, I like this, one of the things that, if you read after David Daniels, he comes up with... you know, different Bible version readings, and he puts them out there for you. So I wasn't necessarily reading a modern version just to read it, but this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and you're going to see the reason why. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, and the reason why is because I've got actually written right here, oh snap. So it says, Paul is saying to these Galatians, he says, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit, this I would learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that ye are now made perfect by the flesh? Yeah, that's a big thing. We are actually set free as Christians from the law. It used to be that the Jews would have to go up to Jerusalem, and they would have to sacrifice all these animals. They'd actually have to work and till the fields to be able to make money to go to the temple, and then go exchange their money at the temple, and then they would have to get the temple money, and then they would have to go buy an animal, and then they would have to go up to the priest. They would give the priest the animal, and then tell him what you did, tell him what sin you did, and then they would put that sin into the animal, and then they would kill the animal as a sin offering. And that's all work. You would literally take the ditch digging, or the gallons of milk that you sold, or whatever, or the livestock that you had, or the fields that you tilled. Back then, they also built buildings. They had carpenters and all that kind of stuff, and stonemasons. And you would take the money that you earned, the money, not the faith, but the money. And you would, of course, you would buy faith. You literally buy faith. You would go then take that money that you've earned, and you would go sacrifice it at the temple. You would buy an animal at the temple and then sacrifice it. And these Galatians were not, they liked to do that, evidently, or something like that. Just go to chapter 5, verse 1. And the reason why I love Galatians is because it starts out and it says, "O foolish Galatians." Think about that. They're foolish because they want to put themselves under the law. So they're foolish because they want to keep on working. And yes, that's foolish. We just, you know, we just realize that we have corrupted bodies that, you know, I don't know how many of you like to get up at 4 a.m. and go work all day, but I don't. I'd like to, you know, I like to work, but just not like forced labor camp work. It's, you know, I like money though, so I guess that's what I do. So later on in Galatians, it says, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yokes," or with the yoke of bondage. And these Galatians were entangling themselves with things like the Sabbath, with things like circumcision, with things like, I don't know what else, with dressing correctly, with things like, eating the right foods, you know. And it's good to eat the right food, but not that, that's not what I mean here. What I mean is that they didn't eat meat. They didn't, they only ate special types of herbs. They observed holidays that were Jewish holidays. They would observe the new moons, the Sabbaths, and actually go to Romans chapter 14. We're going to see what Paul has to say about this. So these are the people, like, what are the people today who do these things? The Seventh-day Adventists would be kind of like the Galatians, or the Church of Christ, or something like that. So they, or certain fundamentalist groups. You got your hand up, Johnny? What else you got?
Catholics?
Perhaps Catholics, yes, but they're not. They don't preach a gospel of salvation. So. But they do works. Right. And actually, the Catholics get a lot of their doctrine about works, send it through a Christian meat grinder, and then they pop out at the end Jewish works that are now Christianized. So it's like indulgences, that kind of stuff. So, Romans 14, and we'll go to verse 4. 14:4, it says, and this is quoted by Greg all the time. It says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant?" Right? Romans 14:4? Yeah. "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, ye shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." So if somebody, I don't know, somebody doesn't wear a tie, God will make him stand. If somebody wants to observe the Sabbath, God will make him stand. Somebody doesn't want to observe the Sabbath, God will make him stand. And there's reasons why normal Bible-believing Christians do not observe the Sabbath. But if somebody wants to, God will make him stand. That'll mean that, you know, if you get saved and you still put yourself under these types of bondage, God will make you stand. So... you're still going to heaven, even though you're doing works that are not necessary. So, and then verse 5, we'll go, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And he that regardeth one day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth he regard it. He that esteemeth to the Lord. He giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and he that giveth God thanks. And he giveth God thanks. So if you don't eat meat, give God thanks. If you do eat meat, give God thanks. If you wear a tie, give God thanks. If you don't wear a tie, give God thanks. Those are very, very little things. But you don't have to put yourself under bondage. You don't have to observe the Sabbath. It's a thing. You're set free from those things. So we won't go into. Well, okay. So now another thing that truth sets you free from is sin. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. So three things that the truth sets you free from is the corruption of this body, from the works of the law, and from sin. You're actually set free from sin. Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." So what that's saying is that just because you're under grace doesn't mean that you're supposed to be a sinner. So, but you're set free from sin. So go to, let's go down to verse 18. We'll read verse 17 also. So, "But God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." So you were servants of sin, but you believed that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That doctrine is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you believe the gospel, and now you're not under sin. You believe the gospel, and now you're set free from the law, and you believe the gospel, and you will be set free from this body. Thank God. So we prayed for the rapture earlier. I don't know if you weren't here for the prayer because you're on. No, I'm not going to say it. Okay. Thank you for being here. I blame him, not you. Yeah. Don't worry. It's always going to be your fault now, Charlie. Congratulations on being married, by the way. It's good for you. The truth makes you free. And then number two, the truth makes you able to worship God. This is kind of a cool story. So go to John 4:23. One of the cooler stories that I was doing some research on. It was an interesting story. Was the woman at the well, and is this it? 4:23. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the woman at the well. It's kind of a cool story where there's this woman. She's a Samaritan. And the Samaritans are, you probably heard the story of the Good Samaritan.